yesterday's attacks on another.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
Braving Israeli snipers, live rounds, and tear gas shells, Palestinians in the Gaza Strip continue to hold weekly rallies to demand their right to return to the homes and lands that their ancestors were expelled forcibly by the occupying regime some 7 decades ago.
We will continue to take part in these rallies until we achieve our goals, no matter how long it takes. This inhumane siege on Gaza must be fully lifted, and we must be able to live with dignity.
The Great March of Return rallies began on March 30th, when Palestinians commemorated Land Day, marking the 1976 killing of 6 anti-land seizure protesters. They reached a peak on May 15 to mark the Nakba, or the Day of the Catastrophe, a reference to the forced removal of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians to clear the way for Israel's creation in 1948. The protests were not unusual, and so the Israeli brutalities. But this time, the crackdown coincided with the U.S. Embassy relocation in Israel from Tel Aviv to the occupied Jerusalem Al-Quds. While the U.S. president was addressing the embassy opening via a recorded video, the regime forces were engaged in the bloodbath. Artillery bombs, live bullets, and tear gas canisters rained down on Palestinians, leaving dozens, including several teenagers, dead and over 1,000 more injured in a single day. According to Gaza health officials, Israeli forces have killed scores and wounded nearly 20,000 more since the protests began. Many questions remain about the Israeli high-handedness against Gazans approaching the Israeli fence with burning tires. Why Israel launched a brute force on anti-occupation rally? Did it want to silence Palestinians outraged by Israel's violations? Or was Tel Aviv simply emboldened by the support that it received from the new American regime?
As long as the U.S. government supports Israel, continues to support Israel, regardless of what it does, then it will feel empowered to do more and more atrocities. It's genocide. They're committing genocide.
The fallout from bloodshed will likely continue to be felt through criticism from the international community and ramifications in the region.
The world needs to intervene to stop this occupation and end the siege on Gaza. We have the right to live in freedom and dignity, like all other nations in the region.
Apart from a UN General Assembly resolution, Israel's use of deadly force was condemned by most human rights organizations, including Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International. The prosecutor of the International Criminal Court even warned that the Israeli violence could constitute crimes under the Rahman Statute.
Any humanitarian solution to the Gaza Strip is a solution without political price. We will not offer any political prices to lift the siege. I feel because of this steadfastness, these marches, and this resistance that we are close to ending this unjust siege. This siege will end.
While the Israeli military claimed the use of live ammunition was needed for its security, human rights organizations condemned it as premeditated and illegal. Israel's targeting of civilians, medics, and the press suggests the regime at odds with fundamental values and democratic freedoms.
I think they want to silence the Palestinian uprising, whether it is in the Gaza Strip, whether it is in Ramallah, or whether it's inside, you know, in historic Palestine in 1948 areas.
Why is Gaza the center of the protest? Gaza's 2 million people have long been pushed beyond endurance, subjected to nearly 12-year siege and 3 devastating wars that have brought the enclave to the brink of collapse, with more than half of the population dependent on humanitarian assistance. Under such circumstances, it is unsurprising to find so many Gazans on the front line. The most striking scenes have been the presence of women.
We are demanding our legitimate rights, and we are not asking for something impossible. Jerusalem Al-Quds is in the heart of our struggle, next to the right of return for Palestinian refugees.
The mass Friday demonstrations have witnessed people from all walks of life standing united to demand an end to the Israeli blockade and to denounce the U.S. recognition of Jerusalem Al-Quds as Israel's capital, as well as the so-called deal of the century. A U.S. plan allegedly seeking a peace settlement between Israelis and the Palestinians.
I don't believe that Israel itself wants any peace. I mean, an occupier does not steal your land in order to come down and sit with you and negotiate a peace settlement. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
What did the Great March of Return accomplish so far can be seen in its steadfastness. International activists call it a new trend, with Gazans seizing it as an opportunity to rally international support and momentum towards lifting the siege. It is also a reminder to the world that two-thirds of Palestinians in Gaza are direct descendants of the refugees who lost their land in 1948 and have a right to return.
The right of return is non-negotiable. It is the red line, absolute red line. The Palestinians will never give their right of return up. This is something that we will continuously fight for, not just from Gaza, but from around the world.
Nevertheless, the concern of civil society groups standing in solidarity with Gaza is that Israel could use the march as a pretext for yet another war on the territory. Israel continues to violate its obligations under international law. It has no intention of correcting or addressing historic injustices that created the Palestinian refugee problem. It is the issue of the expulsion of a nation to be replaced by a regime that denies the existence of the indigenous nation.
I want a solution that obligates them to maintain the peace. War and destruction and genocide and mass murder, mass killing of Palestinians are profitable.
Although the original refugees of the 1948 ethnic cleansing are declining in number, their descendants number more than 5 million. The right of return is also enshrined in international law. The UN General Assembly, in December of 1948, adopted Resolution 194, which called for the return of Palestinian refugees to their homes. In June of 1967, the UN Security Council passed Resolution 237, calling on Israel to facilitate the return of refugees, thereby including those forced out by Israel's seizure of land days earlier. Will Israel continue to ignore its international obligations?
Care about international law. They just make their own policy regardless of any law, international or a local village law. It really doesn't matter. They have no respect for law at all.
70 years after the Nakba, Israel is likely speculating the end of the first generation refugees so that the following generations will gradually forget their claims to historic Palestine. Tel Aviv also tries to conceal not only the evidence of Palestinian villages by building shtetl units, but even bulldozing the existing ones to downsize the native population.
The continued occupation, the continued building of walls, illegal settlements, I mean, home demolitions. This is happening in Jerusalem. These are things that are happening inside historic Palestine as well.
But the more Palestinians being suppressed, their causes becomes more internationalized. The Palestine Solidarity Movements, as well as the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction, or BDS, are among few that honor the Palestinian resistance. Although it was unfortunate on the part of the West in general, and the United States in particular, to keep silent on the plight of the Palestinians, the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem Al-Quds has only rubbed salt into gaping wounds, and so has Washington's funding freeze to UN's Palestine Refugee Agency.
And we will not give up. We will continue to pressure them to reverse their decision, to abstain from continuing these violations, and to respect international law. This is a Palestinian will, and we will not stop till we achieve our goals.
The siege of Gaza, whose population largely comprises of refugees, continues to choke the region in what has been described as an incremental genocide. This is what Palestinians mean when they say the Nakba is ongoing, that their plight continues to this day with more displacement, more land theft, and more mass killings.